Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me!
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we are here for you and you are here for us. And together, we keep the mood up, the things flowing, the season having reason. We all get it done together. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. The things must flow.
The things must flow.
And you make them flow.
You make them flow. And thank goodness, because I, for one, as I have said in the pre-show and 175 times all week long, am crabby, and I need this show today like fire.
I think I have something for you then today.
Lay it on me.
We just discovered The Way of the House Husband on Netflix. This is a Japanese anime. It's technically anime, but don't let that... It's not like the classic anime. This is an animated Japanese show about a house husband whose wife, I think, is she an ad exec or a lawyer? It's not really clear to me. Mm-hmm. And he is former Yakuza.
What?
So the whole premise is that he acts like a gangster all the time, but he's wearing an apron all the time. And what he's doing is like... going shopping or picking up some plants to decorate the house or buying a birthday gift for his wife. But he's Yakuza guy. And like he runs into gangsters or people from his former life. And you think he's going to get caught up in a subplot somehow. And then he ends up making them like help him with the shopping or something.
Oh, amazing.
It's so good. And it reminded us of Agretsuko, which is another Japanese anime of, is she a fox? I think she's a fox. Who like works in an office and is always like very polite in the office, and then rages and sings heavy metal at karaoke. One of the plot points is that you'll see what she wishes she could say in her like raging heavy metal voice, and then it'll go back to reality. So I think aggressive mixed with cute is definitely a thing.
Oh, that is absolutely wonderful. I'm just like literally reading recaps of The Way of the House Husband right now, and it sounds
so good. So
incredible.
Good. Yeah. It's just amazing, because even though now I know, like I've seen it, you know, after the first couple episodes or even plot points, you know, like, oh right, he's never going to get called back into that life, but they keep thinking, oh, maybe this is the time.
Really, maybe this is the moment.
Yeah,
that is absolutely delightful. But so aggressive versus cute, do you think is sort of the larger like portrayal technique?
Yeah, and this might be more of a Japanese thing since these are both Japanese, but like that's sort of like tempering your cute thing with aggressive, or vice versa. Way the House Husband is almost the opposite, right? It's a cute life house husband mixed with a little of the Yakuza aggression.
CW Lung says Yakuza are people too.
That's true.
It's true.
So true. Yeah.
And they just want to make bento boxes sometimes.
Sometimes.
Actually, we have been rewatching Community because rewatching shows from the 90s and now apparently they sometime in the 20s, 2010s or early 2000s is the thing that the kids do these days. And surely the character is the perfect example of this. Like really, really charming and cute. I mean, not in the anime way.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
But really, really charming and cute with this like sweet, high pitched voice. And then sometimes just like, no.
Yeah. Turns on a dime.
Turns on a dime. So it's a winner. And I could see why it would become more and more popular.
So folks, if you need a little aggressive cute in your life, there you go. There's a couple examples. Send us more if you're like, oh, yeah, that reminds me of this other thing. We'd love to hear them. Feedback.
Totally.
It's a thing.me.
Aggressive cute. This is one that's actually been on my list for a while, and I don't know. I guess today I'm just really hungry, and so today is the day to do it. But dudes, birria. I don't know if you're familiar with birria, but
I am.
It yeah, I'm sure you are. So it's like braised meat, often goat or beef, and it has had a total comeback. It's usually like made as a stew, or it used to be, but in the incarnation in which it has become a white hot incandescent thing, it's tacos. Birria tacos have gotten huge, and then they even make them in sort of a quesadilla style, which is like queso birria, basically. And then you dip them like a French dip in the consommé. So instead of being served as a stew, they take all the yummy juice and put it on the side, and you dip your taco in the consommé. And oh my God, I cannot stop. It just keeps showing up everywhere. There's like 50 million recipes for it. It is everywhere. And I just discovered in wonderful thing crossover land, you can make it in the Instant Pot.
So of course you can.
Totally, yeah, doing it this weekend.
Would be perfect. I've definitely seen birria in stores, restaurants, my entire time in Texas and California. I definitely have seen birria tacos before too. Mm-hmm. I don't remember where or when, but not as a hot item. So this is interesting to see, like, birria's time has come. This is its moment.
It has come. So how do you pronounce, do you say birria or birria?
I keep saying it a different way every time, hoping one of them's probably correct.
And then I called you out. Yeah, apparently food trucks slinging tacos de birria continue to multiply, according to Eater New York, because they like evidently just went crazy in New York. I looked it up before the show because I'm kind of hungry, and there are like 50 million, there's like five taco trucks in just Oakland, though.
Jeez.
And so I might have to like go get some tonight at the food truck, even though it's like 22 degrees out. Okay, it's not. It's like 48. But you know, like, but it can get really cold in the Bay Area, and when it's cold,
that's 20
it's really
to
cold.
Us. Yeah.
It's like that kind of night. Anyway, I think I might need to go get some tonight, see how all the flavors go, and then see how my Instant Pot thing compares. Because I'm at the point now where I'm like, okay, universe. I hear you, and I'm making it because it sounds amazing.
Yelp is on it. When you do a search for birria tacos, one of my results was best birria tacos in Los Angeles.
Nice. Yeah,
like that's a pre-populated search result.
They're everywhere. I mean, I kind of want to try the stew kind. I don't know. But the queso birria, like with just sort of quesadilla style, and then, oh my goodness. Anyway, it's a huge food trend, and it's one I can definitely get behind.
Mio.
And I cannot wait to go try it. And evidently huge in New York. Who knew?
Big in NY. All right. We are going to continue to make you hungry for the rest of this episode. I just want to remind you that
now.
But this is a sad story. There is a boba shortage.
I know.
Because the tapioca starch that you make the little boba out of is made in Thailand and then usually shipped to Taiwan, where most of the boba balls are constructed. And just because everything, there are shipping backlogs. As I was reading this story about the boba shortage, I realized that everything that I would say on Daily Tech News Show about the microchip shortage applies to boba.
That's true.
They underestimated like a Taiwanese the bounce monopoly. Back in demand. Weather problems in Taiwan and Japan have affected the shipping. It's like, oh my gosh, the why isn't boba included in the infrastructure plan?
Like, seriously though.
Seriously.
Because the thing is, like, it's not just that there is a shortage of boba, which is just like a piece of news. It's that people are losing their damn minds about the shortage of boba. Like, they're freaking out.
And boba tea places are having to explain to people, like, it's not our fault. We ordered the boba. The boba just hasn't come. It's on the boat. We hope it gets here.
We're trying.
On its way. the shortage will work itself out, just like the chip shortage, eventually.
Just like the chip shortage, you're going to be okay. Right now, we don't have any
boba. Yeah.
The LA Times was actually quoted someone, a boba tea purveyor, of saying, you know, I want to say our customers have an understanding and value our product where they don't need boba if I can't provide it. But I don't know. It's a scary time. Kind of like Boba-geddon. That happened. Boba-geddon is how much people are freaking out.
My favorite local boba place has, I think, very cleverly tried to head this off, because they always have new drinks. They had an Oreo boba recently. They tried to replicate the taste of an Oreo cookie. They've had some waffle or bobas. Like they do crazy stuff, and their new cool drink is Dalgona coffee.
Oh,
so no, you don't need the boba.
What do you know?
Right, and it's not Dalgona coffee like we've talked about on It's a Thing. It's coffee and milk with the actual candy Dalgona crumbled on top.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good.
Because Dalgona coffee, if you remember, is the instant coffee that you whip up, and it tastes like the candy called Dalgona, which is where it gets its name. But this place is taking it one step further, and I think other places are doing this too, where they're like, oh, we'll just put the actual thing on top of the frothy milk with the coffee. How about
that's
that?
That's smart.
You will smart. You won't even think about boba while you're eating that.
One thing I didn't even realize, too, is not only are they running low on the actual boba, the tapioca balls, even the straws, the big old jumbo boba straws.
Oh, right. Yeah, because you can't drink a boba with a regular size straw.
No, don't be ridiculous. Yeah,
that's not going to work.
Boba, get in.
Boba, get in.
People are freaking out. They're freaking out. Get in, boba! It's bad. It's bad out there.
Boba Geddon was a character in Star Wars, right?
Something like that, I think. Yeah. Something?
Probably.
Will the boba people at Porter Wants to Know pivot to Halo Halo or a resurgence of cheese?
Halo Halo, yeah, yeah.
Tea. Oh, Halo Halo.
Yeah, the Filipino drink, yeah.
Maybe. This is an opportunity for an entrepreneur to fill the void.
Right, that's a thing to keep an eye out on. Will Halo Halo like have a resurgence?
Fill the boba void. You can do it. So my next thing is a thing I feel like there was some discussion of, and maybe it was a pre-show and maybe it was an email, but I had seen an article about how tinned meats, and particularly tinned seafood, as in, you know, the stuff that comes in the little cans like you get
I'm sorry, Molly. I'm sorry to interrupt here. I'm getting a call from 2006, Molly, that's making fun of you for not calling it canned meat.
No, that's not what we call it now. Now that it's a thing. No.
All right. I'll tell her to just piss right off.
Yeah. Just tell her to zip it, because she's a giant snob and she needs to move on. Canned meat is spam. Tinned meat is classy.
Well, there's nothing wrong with spam, but I get what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're throwing down.
Yeah. No. It is. Like, it is specifically being referred to as tinned meat, and I am assuming that this is somehow, you know, pandemic related, of course, but I'd seen some article on Refinery 29 about how, like, tinned meat was having this, you know, moment, and somebody had launched an online store that was just to buy, like, you know, canned seafood, and then this is the moment where I was just like, okay, even if we talked about this casually in passing or as a result of an email, I now have to make it a thing because a dude made a whole newsletter. A whole entire newsletter.
Wow.
Obviously on Substack.
Well, yeah, also a thing. People
and
writing things on Substack.
When I say a dude, I mean the features editor at Vice News. So, like, here he is off doing Vice News hardcore investigations about things and being like hella edgy and whatnot, and he has launched a newsletter called Popping Tins. That does not seem to be a joke. That is all about tinned seafoods, because apparently it's a super duper uber thing.
Feel so seen by this.
By the tinned, are you a tin?
Three times a week. And maybe this is where you remember us talking about it. Three times a week, I make a lunch that involves some sort of canned sardines.
No.
Or tinned sardines.
For example, sardine toast with tomato and sweet onion by Melissa Clark in the New York Times from like just Mine's
brown rice, sardines, and kimchi with a little rice seasoning on top.
Oh, that sounds actually really delicious.
Yeah.
I had no idea. You're going to have to sign up.
I know. I totally think that Tim Marchman was looking around at all of the people pivoting to Substack from journalism and thinking like, okay, I need to keep this job. So I can't do anything that's competitive with what I do at Vice. But I really want some of that sweet Substack action. What can I do?
So I'm going with tin meat. And apparently it is working like gangbusters, because not 2 hours ago, as of recording time, he tweeted, the response to this has been literal orders of magnitude past what I expected. This weekend, thousands of hungry readers will get a review of this tin from the amazing Conservas Geomar, which appears to be pulpo. It's octopus.
Oh,
so
very nice.
It's huge.
Yeah, the one that's on the page that you linked to, the Welcome to Popping Tins, the Bella lightly smoked sardines is not the one I use normally, but I have had those before. They're quite good.
Oh,
a little pricey.
My goodness. Yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
Tin seafood. And then he has a whole like why, you know, and evidently thinkfluencers and paleo dieters have been going on about healthy fats and vitamin B12.
Don't say that. It'll make me want to stop eating them.
I know. Don't stop. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's not your fault. Well, I know what's going to happen now, Tom, because this is basically.
Oh, it's going to drive up the price.
This is your bet noir. It is going to drive up the price. Everyone's going to think you're on the bandwagon.
I know.
What are you going to do?
I might have to switch brands, you know? Like what's the unpopular brand? Like somebody just needs to come out with like Republican sardines that none of the influencers will buy. And then
do you really want to go for the like the low end tin though of fish?
Well, see, I don't want low quality, right?
Right, exactly.
I just want the branding to turn people off so that I'm like, oh yeah, those are perfectly fine sardines in there.
You're gonna have to go to like God. This is so interesting because. It feels like it's right in line with the sort of like millennial taste profile of sort of like sour. Like he's talking about putting it on rye bread with mustard.
Yeah, it's just tapas, right? You know, like actual Spanish tapas.
Wow.
That's the millennial flavor profile, apparently.
I guess so. I'm going to have to go. Yeah. I'm going to have to.
Vinegar, sour, umami. Yep. Yeah.
Smoky.
Yeah.
Olives, kimchi is mentioned here.
Pickled onions. Yep.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Because I had
no idea that you were a tinner. There must be a name.
I didn't either.
Tinner, tinster, tinneramadinda.
I thought I was doing something like that I should barely admit, honestly.
Tin merit. No, dude.
But apparently now I should not admit it for a totally different reason.
No, you're a tin pioneer.
Well, because the reason I started doing it is my doctor was like, you need to eat more oily fish, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to cook fish, especially in the middle of the day. And I found a brand that is wild caught. So it's not going to, it's going to have the lowest mercury and all that stuff. And it's really good fish. It's really good quality. And so I could just buy them in like boxes of 12.
Yeah. Dang.
That price
I mean, I did. We did make a salad last night, like basically sort of a, you know, thrown together niçoise with some canned tuna and like a sort of soft boiled egg. And yeah, it was really yummy. Maybe I need to buy other tins.
Well, maybe what'll happen, as most millennial oriented things often do, is it will now start broadening. So it'll go beyond just the seafood, right? It'll go into like spam will become cool again, and it'll start to be about all kinds of canned foods, and there'll be like this kitschy, like, oh, I made this gourmet thing, but with a canned thing. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe. Yeah.
Thank you for humoring me.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think spam did have, I think all kinds of stuff like that did have a mini resurgence because of pandemic, right? Like people were really.
That's true.
Yeah. People were really looking it up. And the only reason I sounded hesitant is because I was actually reading through the recipe, as it were, recipe for sardine toast with tomato and sweet onion. And it sounded really good.
Yeah, it does sound pretty good. I have to admit. Yeah.
Tins.
Well,
it's a thing.
Tin it up, folks. All right. Keep those emails coming. Feedback at itsathing.me. That Charlie dude has a question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are boogs bags a thing? B-O-O-G-S. My wife says one of her mom boards was talking about them.
I don't boogs, hold on. I'm looking.
Boogs.
Could it be bogs? Boogs bags.
Oh, bog bag. I
think it's bogs bags.
Yeah, bog with B-O-G-G. Okay, so a little
B-O-G-G.
Typo in there.
Bags sorry, and accessories that, for Charlie, the beach dude. And beyond. Oh, these look like they would be a thing because they look just like those jelly shoes.
Oh, totally. Yeah, no, those are a thing. Those are a
Have
thing that
these?
Charlie did.
Or are you just assuming?
I'm just looking at them and going, yeah, in my 10 years of experience, thing spotting with Molly Wood, I feel comfortable saying, yeah, thing.
Also, I just bought one. No, I'm just kidding, but I almost did, but I might. I'm like, this is freaking genius. You can hose it out and take it to the whole
You're going to buy one.
$75? Oh, yeah. And it's sold out. Okay, yes.
Of
this
course it is
a thing.
It's definitely a thing. Yeah.
Oh, my, they are the Yeti cooler of Crocs handbags, says At Porter.
There we
and
go.
Everyone believed that I bought it. No, dude, this is $75 for like a rubberized tote bag and it's sold out. A, it's a huge thing. And B, people will buy anything.
But look, it's so nice, goes so nice with her little sundress.
Oh, it's great. It's like the perfect beach bag.
Yeah. It's the modern beach bag. This is
my goodness.
The bog bag will show up in period pieces about 2021.
Yeah. You know what? Yes. Like this is having never seen it until just this minute. I am so with Tom on this. This is like huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. We also received, and I'm worried about her. I hope she's okay. We received the shortest Fordo email ever. It says, subject, axe throwing. Body, nothing more to say, just axe throwing. Totally still a thing.
First of all, yes. And then we never heard from her again. So hopefully that's not related. Also, the day this email came, Eileen and I had driven to Shake Shack. And on our way back from picking up Shake Shack, we passed by an axe throwing place and both of us looked at each other and like, you know, that sounds kind of fun. And the axe throwing place had a big sign like, we're open, you know, COVID restrictions are over. And we're like, huh, maybe. And so we were like kicking around like, oh, axe throwing. And she's like, I don't know, maybe I should take my team there. You know, maybe it's like a team building exercise. And then I got home and Fordo was spying on me. Like, that's the only thing I can figure.
Clearly. Oh, my goodness.
So, Fordo, proof of life, please.
Proof of life. We're worried about you. You okay, Peanut?
Jackie from lovely North Olmsted needs a thing check. I think there may be some nepotism involved in this. Jackie from lovely North Olmsted needs a thing check. Are not top blouses a thing? Been seeing them everywhere, but need confirmation from the expert thingers.
Not top blouse. Hold on.
Not top blouses. We're on it, Jackie.
I know,
from
we're
North
on that. Is
Olmsted.
That like where you're not at the bottom? Like there's
we also
a not...
know you're listening, Jackie, from North
I know.
Olmsted.
We know that you are right there in the room.
Please shout your affirmation. So not top means like when it's tied at the bottom? The blouse is like tied at the bottom?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. If so, then definitely that is back. Like the thing where you like knot your t-shirt on the side or it's, you know, you knot the, yes, like knots on shirts for sure. Oh, tie front tops, Forever 21. God help us. Oh, God, I'm so
Hello,
glad I don't
Pop Go with tie, side tie. What do they call them? They don't call them anything. They're just t-shirts that have tied themselves.
But yes, tie front, crop tops. Heaven help us. What's really back is crop tops. Oh,
twist knot tunics.
Goodness. Yep. Twist knot tunic. Mm-hmm. There's the nomenclature that we needed. Twist knot top. Hold on. Returning images. Oh, yeah. Huge. Yep. Totally back. God, that really was a very specific look from like the 90s, basically. Mm-hmm. Nailed it.
Yep. definitely.
And we're not just saying that because of the nepotism.
We can't just, we're not just saying that because somehow, for some reason, our producer is typing in all caps. Yes, that's the thing.
Sarah Marie says, I dislike them, so I've been noticing them. Yes, that is true.
Yeah, they stick out more.
And tunics in general, like the long baggy shirt look, that's totally back. And there was probably a reason that I was like, oh, I love all the clothes in this store right now. It's because of how I literally used to dress for like 10 years. Long, unflattering shirts. Great.
Time is a flat circle.
So thrilled. What's so weird is, okay, so you know how there's like low-cut jeans?
Yeah.
And long tunics. Right. And then there's high-cut jeans and crop tops. But like for some reason, frequently, those two things, like low-cut jeans and crop tops or tunics make sense, right? Because you can cover your butt.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm following you.
But for some reason, it's always high-waisted jeans and crop tops that come into fashion at the same time.
Well, but that isn't that the same
which
thing
I guess
reverse?
Is like show off your belly, and I understand, but I'm just like, shouldn't it be the opposite? Like,
but the high waist covers some of it.
Yes, exactly. So, well,
why? What I'm curious is, do crop tops and low-cut jeans ever combine for just? That seems very 70s.
For just maximum exposure. That does happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe what I'm mad about is crop tops.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. I think that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Solidarity. All right.
All right. Moving on.
Let's get to our shout outs. This week's shout outs from our producer, Rich Straffolino, are based on the release notes for Easy OS 2.7.
Oh, where does he get this, you ask? We don't know.
We don't need to know. It's all one description. Should we just alternate sentences?
I think sentences is the way to go here.
All right,
yep, here we go. Lee Price OS is an experimental Kevin Sill distribution, which uses many of the technologies and package formats pioneered by Eric Duncan Linux.
The distribution features custom container technology called Jake Woods, which can run applications or the entire desktop environment in a container.
Gabriel Cohen has announced the release of Lee Price OS 2.7.
This version is part of the Brad Sparks series, compiled from the source code of a port of the Open Joe Hood project, with the exception of a few large and difficult to cross-compile packages, such as Louis St. Amour Office and Mike Akins.
Only one buglet known so far. James C. Smith is missing his icon. That one snuck through.
Yep.
Buglet.
Sorry about that.
Buglet.
We'll get you your icon. We promise.
Easy OS 2.7.
Also, I love such as Louis St. Amour Office and Mike Akins.
Amazing. We don't know where he gets it, but it's worth it every time.
So good.
So thank you to those of you who support us at the shout out level, patreon.com/itsathing. Your free content is what you are for us, but not for
you're
you.
You're
the best.
A minefield of... No, that's not right.
Nope, that's not right either.
Of corn that is... let's just go.
You guys are the crop tops of podcast supporters. Nope, that's not right. You're wonderful. We love you. Thank
you're
you.
You're the boog bag of It's a Thing.
See you next week.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.